Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the very occasional Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. How are you guys doing? It has been a little bit of time since we got together. It's David, Matt and Alan. We are here to look back at the season that was, pick over the bones of Glasgow's loss in the final and look ahead to Scotland's summer tour and all that good stuff. Matt, it's nice to see you. We don't really speak when we're not doing podcasts. It's been a couple months. You all right?
Yeah, I was a bit anxious about this, to be fair. Wasn't sure it was going to actually happen. And then I'm not quite sure what to say or how to, you know, bit of banter, jokes. I'm not quite sure how it works really, but
we're certainly out of practice. You were never particularly good at banter or jokes anyway. So
yeah, it's not my strength
to get back into it.
Well, I just spend the days on the offside line. I've got to bring something to the table.
Exactly. Alan, how are you getting on?
Good. Obviously, you, me, do me. We have numerous beers without Matt on.
We do have a lot of beers without Matt.
A near weekly occasion. But yeah, you know, just tough to get pods in these days, all with young children.
It's tough, yeah.
Can't believe how much time we used to have. Genuinely, just so much time.
Don't talk about it. You can't dwell on it too much.
So much time.
We used to watch Scotland Sevens. That's how much time we had.
The amount of rugby I used to watch, wow. Actually, I didn't watch that much. You guys used to watch a lot of rugby, bloody hell. Well, anyway, it is good to be back together, and thank you very much for joining us. We've been keeping in touch with you guys on social media. That's at Thistle Rugby Pod. That's where you can find us on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. Those are our two main channels at the moment. The newsletter has lain dormant as well. It's been a tough stretch, but as Matt was saying, we've all got these young children running around. So, you know, we're an occasional pod, but it is always good to get back together. And on the occasion of Glasgow getting to a European final, that is worth us getting back together to talk about. Matt, we might as well start there and then we'll come on to talk about the Scotland squad. And we might touch a little bit on Edinburgh, but you never know. There's not much to say on them. They've been bad for a wee while now. But let's start a Scottish team in a European final. Matt, let's start with the positive. That was a bloody good run by Glasgow before sort of coming up short in that final.
Yeah, I think if at the start of the season or when you heard that Franco Smith, a bit of an unknown or a bit of an underwhelming appointment, had come into the fold, that by the end of the first year in charge, Glasgow would have been, you know, in a European final, pushing hard in the URC playoffs, obviously would have bitten their hand off. And then I think just because the season has been so successful And I think there was a genuine sense of optimism going into both the Munster match and this final. Like, actually, I think the sense of disappointment is pretty strong when, if you told someone at the start of the season that's going to be the outcome, you would have been pretty happy with it. So it's a bit of like a strange one in that sense.
I think it is easy to forget that Glasgow, it's not that they were quite in disarray, but they were in a really bad spot, really difficult coaching market after Danny Wilson was. And we discussed it on the pod back then that we think that the SRU didn't really, they weren't planning to get rid of Danny Wilson, but then they shipped 70 to Leinster and it became something that they had to do. You know, we've never really been accused of being of sort of sitting on the fence, but we were not as anti Franco Smith as a lot of people were. We said it was a pretty decent bit of business in the circumstances. Alan, what did you make of Glasgow in the end? Then did people sort of underestimate that Toulon team, or did Glasgow really just not show up to the races?
I think the narrative in the press has been relatively sort of complimentary of Toulon, and probably I would say put Toulon a little bit too high a pedestal for where they're actually at. Like, they do have a few sort of like good individuals, obviously, so like Colby and Saran, but actually when you look at their team, I don't think it's particularly strong, especially in the pack, sort of outside of Olivon. You know, you've got Big Brian and Cornel Dupree, and Parise is about 40. And I actually think when you match them up, Glasgow on the whole has a better team. And I really think, for whatever reason, it just feels like that Glasgow team has sort of run out of steam as it's come into the last couple of matches. And I think you saw, sort of in that Munster game, they sort of lacked a bit of the cutting edge, especially in the 22, and then sort of coming into this Toulon game, just seemed to completely lose their shape and just their sort of overall kind of attack. It was a, again, it's really sad because obviously you sort of the last game is very much sort of in the memory, and it just felt so disappointing to kind of stutter and kind of not really make a mark in such a big match. But I do think when you sort of look back over the course of the season, clearly Glasgow have made some tremendous kind of strides forward. I think it does look pretty good for next season. But I do think they should, I generally think they went into that match against Toulon as a marginally better side. And I don't think they gave a particularly great account of themselves.
I think it's kind of similar to the Munster game, in that once again,
yeah,
like Glasgow were the form team versus Munster in the URC, and probably on paper, you're kind of thinking, yeah, Glasgow have got Munster's number here. But then I think it's the same with Toulon. Like, there's just those two, three, four players who are used to playing in big matches and have won those big matches before. With Toulon, it's Colby, Bigger, maybe Olivon, and even someone like Parise, although he's played for Italy, etc. Like, he's so experienced, and you kind of want that kind of leader in your team. And then with Munster, it's your Omanis is the obvious one. And it just kind of felt like it was in both those matches, like those traditional Scottish failures around, you know, Glasgow could win those games when the pressure wasn't really on, because no one expected them to do that well this season, and the stakes weren't as high as in these knockout games. But when it came to the crunch, just couldn't pull out that performance that we knew they were capable of and showed the whole season. So yeah, it's just those like familiar failings that were just really, really gutting given how good the season had been up to that point.
No, agreed. And I think, as I said, just the fact that in attack, especially in that sort of first half, just weren't really able to pull together really anything. And, you know, in a lot of cases, it was just sort of a lot of players that didn't really look like they'd played together very much across the course of the season. And I just imagine for a lot of them, to your point, haven't played a lot of finals, to not sort of show the best of yourselves in that type of situation is obviously massively disappointing.
Do you think Franco made a bit a couple of selection errors and should have had Darge and Gray starting. And do you think that would have made any difference?
Do you think the Gray is going to be like an injury thing?
It does seem strange. I think Dupree's been pretty good this season, but you know, it's a final. It feels like you pick your strongest team. I can kind of see the argument for Vailanu ahead of Darge because Vailanu has been really good this season and you maybe just want heft.
I think the issue with Richie was just because the lineout went so badly, it just stands out so massively that you didn't have that key lineout operator kind of in position. And obviously him and Brown sort of have worked so well together. I kind of see where you're coming from with Darge, but I actually think Darge just is such a good player that he's almost the first name on the team sheet. And I think in terms of that power game, you know, maybe you know, it's easy to say it retrospectively, but it didn't really bring very much not having Darge in the squad. So I don't think he made the right calls. At the same time, I'm not sure if it would have quite made enough of a difference.
That's the thing. I don't think it would have changed the result, but maybe, I mean, two of those tries, right, were from overthrows. Maybe if Glasgow were in the game, you know, within 5 or 7 points from halftime, puts a bit of doubt into Lon's mind. But even at that stage, it seemed like the game was kind of past them.
Yeah. And then I think 9-10, it's just been a little bit of an issue sort of moving into the back end of the season. I think George Horns, after coming out of a really great regular season, just hasn't quite lived up to those standards. Again, it both in the Munster and against Toulon.
Yeah, I think it's a shame with him because we know how good he is, but there have always been those question marks, which I think are like a bit, little bit unfair sometimes around his basics, his box kicking, his actual, the quality of his passing, which, you know, it's all good and well when he's playing against, say, the Dragons and absolutely tearing it up with his running game. But these sort of occasions do demand a little bit more of the sort of the basics and the more solid stuff. And I just think sometimes it lets him down a little bit, which is why maybe for Scotland, he's kind of perennially going to be that bench option.
Yeah. And I think kind of in the other side of that 9-10 combo, I think it just showed that moving into next season, it feels like there is still a gap at Glasgow and that there still isn't maybe a 10 there that is going to take Glasgow from was admittedly sort of a great position, you know, fourth in the league, quarterfinal, etc. But if they're going to move on further, it feels like they might need to invest in the 10, especially, you know, if Ross Thompson isn't going to be able to like consistently play next season. I don't know who's available, who they can even afford to get. But I'm just not quite sure that Tom Jordan, Miotti are going to be the 10s that are going to win you the big matches.
Who have they got on the books? Jordan, Miotti, Weir, and
Thompson.
And
I guess McDowell now is a 10. Maybe.
Stiffy at 10. People are calling for it. They want it.
I think he is a legitimate kind of backup if required.
Yeah.
But he's just not a 10.
Yeah. And none of those other four are really sort of inspiring confidence, are they? To sort of spur Glasgow on to the next level.
It's a bit harsh on Ross Thompson because he really hasn't played, right?
That's true. And actually, Tom Jordan's done an awful lot to take them to where they got to this season.
Yeah.
I do agree.
Do you want to apologize? Do you want to apologize to the man?
No, I don't.
Never apologize.
Never apologize. Even in the face of facts, never apologize. I still hold to the view that I'm not sure if Tom Jordan, for all his great attributes and for how well he's done, whether he is a 10 that was able to manage that high intensity Munster match.
Maybe this is the Finn Smith gap that's being left deliberately.
I mean, obviously that would be fantastic, but
handing him, they just want to hand him the keys.
Yeah.
Everyone sees the light. Tom Roebuck switching allegiances today. Like everyone says things like, "Oh no, I'm English through and through," but I'll come round sooner rather than later.
Bird in the hand's better than two in the bush, and we can offer you a World Cup in 3 months' time, lads. Come on.
Exactly. Or Kellogg. Kellogg could just absolutely blow everything up and just take Paddy Jacks and win London Irish.
Fucking hell.
No, Dad.
The discourse. The discourse.
Don't do it.
Jesus Christ, that would be bad. I thought you were going to say that Al Kellogg is going to offer Finn Smith not only the 10 jersey at Glasgow, but a long-term role in the regional business development partnerships in Glasgow, and then ultimately the SIU.
Yeah.
Or a stake in that Finns Bay Flatiron restaurant. That's what I was thinking.
Kellogg's a mogul. He's not just like an administrator. He's a mogul in that part of the world.
I feel like he's been a little bit quieter than I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to be very front and center of like the Glasgow Warriors project, but he's sort of taken a little bit more of a step back.
Did you read his like update tonight that they sent out to the team, the sort of end of season update to fans?
I did see there's going to be some permanent bars and restaurants in the Scotstoun fan zone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Spotted that. They're building plans too. That was nice.
Just going back to the 10 thing. I saw that the URC were talking about a draft system potentially.
Which
look, you can argue for and against it. I don't really care. But if we need a 10, you know, get some lad in from Zebre. Who cares?
Wait, how the URC is going to operate a draft system?
I think basically, was it not the Rock Nation guy that said this? Am I right?
It was Martin.
Martin Anai
was saying that, basically saying that as a closed system, you don't get like the sort of, as in no relegation, you don't get like the churn of players.
The games at the bottom of the league, no one cares.
Yeah.
So why don't you do a draft system and maybe Zebre can get some players who aren't getting game time elsewhere and it can make them a bit better.
I'd love it if, like, yeah, Zebra came last and just like, cool, we'll get Caelan Doris. Like, what?
Yeah, but Josh Randifleer, you're off to Treviso. It'd be quite fun.
That's definitely something where, like, Rock Nation facilitated
100%.
A workshop with the URC, and that crazy American guy was like, let's bring in the draft system.
Yeah, he came straight in from the gym with his little weightlifting gloves on. And was like, I've had this great idea on whilst doing some cable flies for a draft.
Yeah. But that's the thing about the draft system that works in America is that they have like an extremely mature and credible like college system. Like, are we talking about we're just gonna like take kids out of like Watson's and BlackRock and send them to Treviso as like the number one pick?
That is the future.
It just doesn't work like that.
That is the future of the league.
If it's the future.
Stumel's finest getting shipped to the Dragons. Like, oh no.
Oh god.
Are we as positive do you think about the I feel like the URC generally has a little bit of momentum about it.
I'm not attributing.
Yeah, I'm not, and I refuse to attribute this to Rock Nation, which a few people do, but it does seem to have its tails up. I wonder how much depth there is to it. I guess the whole thing with sort of the South African teams is it still feels a little bit fresh, but I guess I'm still not quite fully bought into South Africa as part of the URC in general.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm part of the minority.
I can see that.
It's undeniable that they've brought quality to it, but it is.
Yeah, I agree.
Particularly last year, it was strange when it was an all South African final. I guess. And then I suppose we're just feeling a bit hurt. Like, Glasgow got beat, so they're not in the final. I think if Glasgow were going down to Cape Town, we'd be like all over it. Right?
Yeah.
I think I'd still feel it's a bit strange. And like, that's, you're only excited because it's a final, right? And like, I think right throughout the rest of the season, I just can't get excited about any Scottish team going to South Africa and playing in front of, like, ultimately
not
that many people. And I wonder if it's the same for South African fans. Like, sure, Edinburgh can fill out the dam, but it's a hard sell.
They're all sort of confected rivalries across the whole league, right?
Yeah.
Apart from Glasgow Munster, there is something there.
Yeah, well, Glasgow Munster is definitely happening. Glasgow Edinburgh, you know, I think is a real thing. And then you've got all your inter-country ones. But, like, there's nothing like, you know, I don't know, like Bath Exeter and like those, like these old, like traditional rivalries.
Is Bath Exeter a traditional rivalry?
I'm just grabbing the West Country there.
I agree. I think also the URC does very well, or has done well this season, because the Premiership, which I think is Premiership in a good year, I would still argue is the English Premiership is perhaps the best league. But in the last year or so, has been such a shit show that makes the URC look like this, you know, paragon of stability and excitement, etc.
Yeah, no, agreed. It's although I do sometimes find that there's, like, obviously a bit of criticism from the URC side about, like, you know, lack of sustainability in the Premiership. I'm pretty sure if Edinburgh and Glasgow weren't subsidised by Scotland, neither would have survived the pro era whatsoever.
No, well, neither would any team in Ireland or Wales, right?
Yeah, I know, exactly. But anyway, But no, maybe we need to be. Maybe I'm being a little bit cynical. It feels like, to point, when you sort of compare it to where the Premiership is, and you got to remember, we're still only not a year and a half or two out of COVID, the URC is probably in a relatively good place. And actually, bringing those South African teams in, you know, hasn't been detrimental to the URC product. I just probably don't think it's added as much as sometimes people say it has.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. That feels very, very, very measured of you, Alan.
Come on, Alan. Give us a better soundbite than that, Alan.
Give us a hot take.
something taken out of context that we can beat over the head with.
I have not. Mate, I'm a fan.
We've already had the Paddy Jackson line. We can take that out of context. That's our headline. we've got the headline for the episode, so we're fine.
As I said, that was more of a hypothetical. just make the title Paddy Jackson to Glasgow ?
It's really stoke up. We're going to have to get an on the record denial from Al Kellogg by the end of tomorrow.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm not in conversations. Where do we want to go? No, I guess other than the 10 position, I suppose, is actually where we started off at. Section of the conversation. Where else did Glasgow, in his letter today, Al Kellogg did say that they will complete their business over the summer. Other than 10, do you think there's any areas where they sort of desperately need to strengthen if they're to, you know, what do we want from a Glasgow and an Edinburgh? A nice final or semi-final appearance now and again, but basically consistently in the playoffs, I think, is what we can sort of want and hope for. Like, what do Glasgow need to do to make sure that they're there again next year?
Well, it's quite interesting if you look at Edinburgh's business for next season. They're bringing in a lot of players. And I think a few of those guys are adding, like, decent quality, particularly Ben Healy. Hislop and Sebastian add some depth at prop. Scott Steele, Ewan Ashman is probably the other name that stands out from that. Glasgow have only signed this guy, Henko Venter, the flanker from the Sharks, who's, you know, he sounds like a little bit of a South African journeyman. And to be fair, I think that's actually, signing South African players has proven itself to be a pretty decent strategy in the past. It looks as if Franco Smith has coached him before for the Cheetahs, potentially, or must know him from the Cheetahs. So you think, in terms of, like, at least fairness, they'll have some money to spend, some players, because they're also losing a few players like Bergen, Wilson, Sam Johnson, etc. So
yeah,
I think maybe there's scope to do quite a bit of business there.
I think when you look at the team, especially from the weekend, it feels like there is a little, maybe not the starting pack, but definitely a bit more depth around sort of the front row or kind of what they're able to sort of bring off the bench. You know, it does a really good job, but someone like, you know, obviously an upgrade on a Lewis Bean, an upgrade on Bergen now is retired. I think that there's a few players there where you could bring in a slightly better quality sort of reinforcement off the bench, which I think would sort of add quite a lot, especially when you've got players sort of off with internationals. But again, I think that's what's quite disappointing about the match of the weekend. I think when you look at Batty, Brown, Ferguson, Dupree, Cummings with Richie Gray, Ferguson, Vialanu, Dempsey, Darge, it doesn't feel like there's too much opportunities. Maybe Batty, maybe another back row, but even then, like Fagus and Darge, Dempsey could be the starting Scottish back row. Cummings and Gray could be the starting, you know, second row pairing.
Yeah.
So I think, actually don't think there's too much needed in the pack outside of just maybe sort of better reinforcements off the bench. But I think that just, again, brings into light how poor the match against Toulon was.
I wonder as well if you, because Lewis Bean is leaving at the end of the season as well. I think he's going to France. So you think maybe that like second / six role needs a bit of strengthening. And I suppose if you think about it this year, you've seen at various points the likes of Gregor Brown, Ewan Ferry, that Alex Samuel guy. I think there's maybe one other, but I can't remember. All getting a shot. All those lads who were dressed up at the final of the weekend in their like six form ties.
Incredible!
So good.
Someone had a great comment under that. Like
Max Williamson as well.
Some of them all look exactly the same somehow.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe you will see some reinforcements, a bit of experience, but also maybe they're putting quite a lot of faith in those guys.
Yeah.
And then you've also got like Murphy Walker to come back from injury. I think they quite like this Angus Fraser guy, the hooker. Who showed up quite well in the Super 6 in the past. Maybe there won't be as much business as we think. They've also signed Cordero, that winger. Is the only bit of business I can think of from Exeter.
Maybe another winger.
Yeah, they need another winger. Considering Doby was playing there towards the end of the season. Like, he did a pretty good job. But
yeah, I'm surprised they let Cole Forbes go.
Sounds as if he Cole wanted to Forbes is
a bit of a funny one. He was in a Scotland squad not that long ago.
Yeah, 2020 summer 2021, I think, where it got canned for COVID, didn't it?
Oh really?
Yeah.
Because I think he probably would have got
capped.
And was that when it was Mike Blair because Tooney was off of the Lions? So yeah. Mike, how weird is it? Mike Blair would have capped Cole Forbes for Scotland.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely feels like, you know, again, Cal Stain, Cancelliere, Rory, and is a good starting wingers. But again, if you've only got Cordero and then Doby, it's there definitely needs to be a few additions there, I think.
It's the end of the Walter Fifita era as well, which is
it? Yeah.
Yeah, so he's gone. He's gone. I think he played like 100 games for Stirling County.
To be fair,
quite a big loss for Stirling County.
I don't know if it was, if I'm honest.
That's the problem.
There must have been a few times though where he was coming off like his blindside wing, and just like some lad for like, I don't know, Southern Knights, just like, oh my god, what the hell is this? Because he was, I mean, genuinely, it's just like a specimen, an absolute beast, right?
I think at some points, Super 6, him playing was the equivalent to like Jonah Lomu,
Yeah.
in terms of who he was up against, like when you saw him on the highlights of Super 6, it was just like he was playing a different game. Size-wise, at least.
Size-wise, yeah.
And he didn't look that bothered, but he could still, like, if someone came and tackled him, he'd, like, put up the bumpers, and they would be, like, a concussion.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, didn't see Sam Johnson leaving. I thought he might have, like, at least, like, a year extension, but I guess, you know, Franco clearly likes Stafford, and if you've got him and Sione, then it doesn't make sense.
Sam Johnson, if I'd be getting my agent on the phone to Japan if I was Sam Johnson. Yeah. He's got Japan profile written all over him, surely.
I wonder as well if he'll eventually want to go back to Australia so you can go to Japan, be closer, and then slowly make your way back. I wonder if he was on...
It's like he's on some sort of medieval journey. It's like, oh, right, yeah.
Well,
go to Japan because then I'll be closer to getting home.
No, because in the context of his career, not the logistics, not the practicalities of travel in the 21st century. But I wonder if he was on quite a decent wedge and just wasn't getting any game time. And it was like, we can allocate that better, maybe to a forward.
Yeah, he would have been getting paid well. I imagine his last contract he signed, it would have been in his peak Scotland years.
Yeah.
Yeah, just re-signed straight after scoring that try in the draw at Twickenham. It's like,
yeah, exactly. Marched up the stairs at Twickenham with like a new contract and put it in front of Dodson.
Dodson was like, I'll see you in the sauna on Monday. Bring a pen.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a bit of a funny one. Do you want to talk Scotland training squad?
Yeah, let's do it.
So World Cup training squad. Four games this summer against Italy, France, and Georgia. The famous Grouse Nations Series. Good to see the famous Grouse back with the title sponsorship of Scottish Rugby. I think we commented this on Twitter. Matt, boring? Kind of nothing new and sexy and exciting in this World Cup squad? Is that a good thing now? Are we a settled international nation?
I think it's just in the context of we've come to expect Townsend just chucking in a wild card. So I was just expecting some sort of unknown guy from New Zealand who was playing in Japan and his granddad was a bit Scottish or something. But yeah, I think it, in a sense, it is reassuring that it's an established squad, it's settled. But at the same time, I slightly worry because I feel like it was the same going into the 2019 World Cup. And I wonder if, like, and obviously that was a disaster. And it seemed as if maybe a few of the guys in that squad who were picked, maybe a bit more on, or they were maybe a bit past their peak, shall we say. And I don't think necessarily that's the case with this squad, but maybe a little bit of fresh blood is kind of a good thing just to mix things up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it. I think, like, if you look at, like, the profile of, like, these players, like, a starting pack, if you take Showman, 21 caps, Turner, 35, Zander, 58, and then in the row, Richie at 73, Grant at 62, Richie, 41 caps already. He's, like, 15. Jack Dempsey's, and then Matt Ferguson's got 33 caps at 25 as well. But I suppose they are all experienced, but not, I suppose, when we were going into 2019, you probably had, like, your Barclays.
Yeah.
And there's probably a few more that were in, like, your 70, 80 range or, like, at the real tail end. It feels like that pack is more like, I suppose, majority prime as opposed to up and over would be how I would maybe read it.
No, I think that's a good point, actually.
I don't make them regularly.
I can't believe Xander Ferguson's 27. I still feel like he's like 23.
Yeah.
Seen a lot.
He has seen a lot.
58 caps in the front row already. He's just coming into his prime now.
Yeah. I mean, could have another 7-8 years. Yeah. He's got to be hitting 100 caps because he's not massively injury prone either.
There's not many players behind him either.
Jamie, How many caps do you think Jamie Batty's got?
12.
I'm going to go with, I think he's low 20s.
High 20s, 28.
28 caps for the bag.
28 caps for Jamie Batty, yeah.
Very fit.
That really jumped out at me.
He sort of burst on the scene, sort of sort of 2017, 2018. And then he sort of had this little kind of sort of maybe dip. And he sort of come back, I think, probably in the last year or so. But no, 28. Fair play.
Didn't he make, maybe not his debut, but in that AI series in 2017 against New Zealand?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like two caps a year on average, since or two or three caps a year.
Mate, you work in finance. What the hell are you talking about?
He's
got 28 caps and it's like 6 years.
Yeah, sorry, I was thinking 7 years, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. It's late. It's quarter to 11. I've been crunching numbers all day.
I mean, is there anybody outside of the squad that you would describe as like, are they loitering like with intent on getting in?
I don't think we need him, but Maitland's still so consistent. You know, he's going to start for Saracens at the Prem, finally just been given a new contract. You know, he's starting at back three ahead of Elliot Daly.
Who would you put in? Who would he replace?
I know. It's a good question. And
I agree. But
when you look at Doohan, Steyn, Darcy, are kind of the three wings.
It'll be Steyn, probably.
Because you've kind of got Harris who can cover, Kinghorn who can cover, but they're a little bit more utility. So I probably agree that he's not needed. But at the same time, I guess, you know, if someone goes down, you know, he'd be a great person to be able to bring in because he's just so consistent.
Yeah.
I feel like Bayliss was one that was always sort of floating around kind of the Six Nations squads, which I thought
he's never quite done it though, has he?
No.
But then I'd say neither's Andy Christie, and he's in the squad, right?
No. Yeah.
But
Christie's younger? Done more at Prem than Bayliss, though. I feel like Christie's pretty
true.
He's on the starting team sheet for a Saracens pack, which is ultimately, you know, gone on to the final.
Yeah.
But apart from that, it's like, I think there's always those calls for whenever you watch like highlights of the Premiership. Yeah, Jordan Matthews maybe. But highlights of the Premiership, you see like Rory Hutchinson just always seems to do something like pretty good in every game he plays. But I think the centres are so nailed down now that it's just less of an issue.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Before Hugh Pilotti, everybody was calling for Hutch in every squad, including ourselves.
And even Stafford Madal's been playing so well and gives you like a bit of a, I don't know, bit of like a more physical edge, I suppose.
He is the only uncapped back named in the squad, old Stiff.
Haven't we looked back at the 2021 Six Nations squad and seeing which players didn't make it who were in that squad? Had Alex Craig floating around 2 years ago. Just not sort of pushed on.
He was
flavor
of the week for a while.
Yeah.
I think he might have had a few injuries.
Hebble.
Still at Gloucester?
Yeah.
Yeah, Craig's still at Gloucester.
Yeah.
Hebble, who I guess sort of hasn't quite developed, or again, has had quite a few injuries, right?
Yeah.
I think he's still injured at the moment. He's been injured pretty much all this season, I think.
I think Hebble's... Is Hebble not playing for one of the teams this weekend?
Yeah, he's in the World 15.
Is he in the World 15?
Obviously. I mean, his name screams World 15.
Him and Harry Hoskins. The pack is just, for the World 15, is just so much weaker than the back line.
Who is Harry Hoskins?
Honestly, don't know. Could be like Jersey Reds. The Gary Graham was floating around in the squad.
Gary Graham.
Never really kicked on. He had two caps. Grant Stewart floating around.
Did you see
Grant Stewart's now, is he even still playing pro rugby?
Super Six.
In the US?
He's plays
Did he
plays
go
for
to the
Ayr.
US?
Plays for Ayr.
Is
he
play for Ayr?
Yeah, Super Six.
He was it Rennie that really rated him and sort of like fast tracked him through Glasgow for a bit?
I think he kind of came from nowhere as well. He wasn't in
Yeah.
many sort of
No.
academies, and then he sort of as quickly as he appears, he's gone.
But no, it's but I agree. It feels like I was trying to even think in the Edinburgh team who you'd probably have said 2 years ago, actually, he was in the squad. James Lang was sort of he was getting a few matches at
Yeah.
12. You probably would have thought he'd been in a right squad, but and Bennett, right?
Yeah,
I
Bennett's an
guess
interesting one, I
so.
think.
But again, I don't think
Yeah.
Lang or Bennett. You would have been totally fine with Bennett in the squad, but he's not quite done enough this year for Edinburgh for you to be screaming out for him to be in, right? Especially when you've got Harris and Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's probably like your four, because you've got Steyn on the wing, you just need four centres, and ultimately Chris Harris, Jones, and Tuipulotu are going to be three of those four. And old Stafford's just crushed it over the last 6 months and probably gives you, and ultimately, they
Yeah.
probably need a 12. Oh, and Cam Redpath,
And
sorry.
Cam Redpath, yeah. So
Yeah.
you've
Yeah.
got it's tough.
Do you think they needed four scrum halves?
Probably not. But I imagine Dolby won't go. They clearly still really rate him.
Because
So,
it'll
yeah.
be cut down to what, cut down to 33.
33, isn't it?
33, yeah. Yeah.
So you'll lose one.
Shall we shall our next pod, shall we all three of us do our 33 man squads, and then
We
we'll
should do.
see how close we are when we get to it in sort of late
Guess
in
like, yeah.
early
But
August.
yeah, we'll do that. Oh, we'll do that probably early September, to be fair. Judging
Well,
by
there
our
you go.
last
Next pod. Our next
podcast.
pod.
Yeah.
Our next pod in early September. But yeah, is there anybody out in that sort of else in that periphery lingering,
Cornell
wanting a
Dupree.
piece?
Cornell three.
Conor Pree,
Hey,
European champion.
play Challenge Cup winner.
We need trophy winning experience in the squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if the only one I'm thinking is, I think Crosby maybe could feel a bit hard done by the
Yeah.
way he was treated in the Six Nations.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that he seemed to win like every award going at Edinburgh's end of season dinner thing. But then
Yeah.
I think at the same time,
What's the issue? Because Luke Crosby's in the squad.
He's in the
yeah, no,
squad.
I'm just saying someone who could like break through to a starting 15. Because I think we've, as Dave even
Yeah.
mentioned before, like I think probably at the moment, and things might change, I think the starting 15 is fairly settled.
Yes.
So I'm just
Agreed.
thinking of like a guy who maybe could push in to do something a bit
Yeah.
interesting.
Agreed. I yeah. Crosby feels like one of the few. Again, do you feel like
There's sort of
hookers?
like just a bit of a back row
Yeah.
configuration piece, though, isn't it? Sort of like depending on who you're playing.
Yeah.
Also think Watson's come into quite decent form towards the end of the year. So
Yeah.
he's just got so much in the bank at the same time.
Do you think Ollie Smith could legitimately be challenging Hogg for starting spot?
Maybe.
It if I'm probably similar boat to you where maybe, but when it if you really had to push me, I'm still going with Hogg, just given
I
the
think
big
so.
game experience, everything
And
he's
you'd start
done.
Smith ahead of Kinghorn at 15.
Yeah, but like ultimately, Kinghorn's like not played full match
He's
at
really
15.
good. I know.
Well,
He's still listed as a 10 on that Edinburgh graphic as well
so
about
stupid.
this. It's so stupid. What are they doing?
Yeah, I just think it's hard to play Kinghorn at 15 other than as a utility sub, given he really hasn't played more than, I don't know, like one or two matches over the last 2 years at 15 for Edinburgh. So
yeah,
it kind of feels like Kinghorn is 10, 15 utility sub or nothing.
Yeah,
but I agree. He's got so much promise, or so much upside in that 15 or the 12 role.
Or the 12. Never giving up on the 12 role.
It was really great.
The 12 role. Since there's a lot of people are saying it, a lot of people are saying you should play 12.
It was really great for that short period of time where Tom English like dipped his toe in the Blair Kinghorn at 12 water. And then very quickly got scolded and sort of like removed his foot from the bath.
Like to think that he was like up on deadline and he was just like listening to our pod. He's like, well, fuck it. I've got 800 words that need filed. Let's get it in there. Do you think that you still look, even in a squad of 42, Havan Sebastian, like, sort of, I think that's like the tell that we're not as deep or as good as we think we are. There's no other nation with someone like him in their squad.
I think definitely a prop.
At prop, we're super light.
I think we're okay at loose head though. Sutherland, yeah. Schoeman and Batty, that's decent.
Oh yeah, 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 that's true.
More than decent actually, but yeah, it's that.
Zander. Yeah,
maybe Murphy Walker, it's time for him to show us what all the fuss is about.
People are loving Murphy Walker.
Murphy Walker is a great idea. I'm not sure if he's great yet.
Well, that's the thing. No one knows, right?
He's just so young.
Is he that? I feel like he's been around for a long time. I feel like since when we started this pod, he was like this 17-year-old starring for like the under 20s. So I guess maybe he must be like 23, 24.
He's 23.
But he's
only played 10 games for Glasgow. So
yeah,
that's mad.
And like, two games for Scotland. Two games.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what games they were. Fiji
in the autumn.
2022 autumn, so Fiji and another.
Yeah.
I guess then thinking about depth, tight head and hooker.
Yeah.
Feels like, you know, obviously Turner is a bit of a big match player. But once you get past him, you obviously Rambo, Cherry, Ashman is good, but hasn't actually got that much game time. He's not starting for Sale.
No.
Same obviously we said with tight head. It feels like those two spots, once you get past Turner and Ferguson, it is a bit of a drop off.
I like Ashman. I think I wouldn't say he's like that test match animal phrase, but I think he has got a bit about him. So I'm actually quite happy with the depth there.
Yeah, I think, and you'll think he'll be coming in as starting hooker at Edinburgh, so you'll probably get, you're hoping he gets a bit more game time than he was getting down at Sale.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Looking forward to it. World Cup, out in the group stages. Enjoy the knockouts. Be good.
One win to Romania, three losses.
How many of the warm-up games do you think they're winning?
What have we got?
Got Italy at home, Scotland, France, home and away, and then Georgia at home. So there's at least one win there.
Two?
I think you've got to be aiming for three wins. Try and knock France at home.
Do you remember we got absolutely roasted by France in before the 2019
the
World
first,
Cup?
Yeah, the first warm-up for 19. Yeah, that was really bad.
And players were like being sick and stuff. I was like, right, okay.
Yeah.
What have you guys been up to?
Like John Barkley like heaving in the middle of the pitch. Yeah, I remember that.
I am worried a little bit again about heat. Because obviously I appreciate it's a different type of heat in Japan. There's a lot more sort of like humidity. But it felt like they weren't quite ready from a fitness standpoint when they went to Japan, or just generally in preseason, sort of playing in the heat. You know, you're going to have that again. They're sort of playing in Nice, and Marseille. Yet the summer, the World Cup training camp is mainly in Edinburgh at the Heriot Watt campus. And I'm like, maybe they should be like at altitude in Spain or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, just getting
the
like
in the Pyrenees.
Just getting like Xander Fagerson like in 32 degree heat with no shade, and just like the body needs to adapt. It's tough out
there.
Yeah,
it does.
These Saffas will be absolute loving life in Marseille. Tongans won't be given a shit. Whereas yeah, Xander Turner, Rich, maybe not Rich Gray, but Cummings. These aren't men who are sort of built for the sun. And I just wonder if yeah, spending all their yeah. time in Edinburgh is the right thing to do.
Turn up the heat in the Orium, in like the indoor bit.
Yeah, exactly. But see, maybe as I'm not a doctor or sports scientist, I'm sure they know what they're doing.
I don't know, man. Don't sell yourself short. It's good analysis. Well,
as a man who has tried to play in the heat and failed, it's a tough transition.
Yeah,
it's probably time to roll off.
On that note,
losing energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's been nice to get on, chew the fat for a little bit, get together, talk about some Scottish rugby. It is more of an occasional thing, but always a joy.
No, it's very nice.
Maybe we'll be more consistent during the World Cup. I don't know.
Yeah,
could be promising a lot, but I don't
for sure.
Know. But
I think post World Cup, we're going to be sort of we'll end up transitioning to like a once a quarter sort of run time. Maybe just once a year after we sort of beat England or
yeah,
Wales.
Exactly. Yeah,
an emergency Sunday night pod.
Yeah,
I like the sort of like very rare, but like not really aligned to Scottish rugby events, like when we popped up to do that pod about Mark Dodson's podcast. Like that's what people want. Everyone expects us to turn up for the big games, but when we turn up, you know, just responding to like the comment section on the offside line or something, that's when people will really know that we're back.
I wonder if we could finally get Dodson on the pod before he walks away. It feels like he's just been this ever prominent figure.
A bit, yeah. We're putting a formal bid to the SOU's press office. But come on, this is where he needs to do his tell-all. Stop speaking to Tom English.
Email response of lol.
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely just not even no response coming.
We've come a long way. Well, we did get where is it when he was the chief operating officer?
Well, Big Dom.
Yeah. Don McKay, we used to be a serious proposition.
Didn't was it Cockerell who called us from his car?
Yeah, we got Cockers.
Yeah. He's literally like, "What has my life come to?" I was like winning trophies with the Tigers, and now I'm talking to these absolute chumps.
Yeah, but we were like, you know, we were the Vice of the BuzzFeed of Scottish rugby, man. Like there was like a year where we were hot. We're raising money. People wanted to be part of us, and now everyone's just realized that behind the curtain we had nothing.
We were very much a cheap, it was peak cheap money, wasn't it? People were just loving it.
Yeah,
buying
exactly.
It.
And Vice is bankrupt now, so there you go.
Yeah.
Gone full circle.
I know.
And BuzzFeed, I think, actually. So
yeah, BuzzFeed's closed. Yeah,
I think it's just the news. But anyway, that's for a different topic.
It is the news thing. Are they still doing listicles of cats?
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
That's when BuzzFeed was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's just sort of illusions of dress illusions and whatnot. But no.
We still break more news than the whole Scottish rugby. During our Six Nations, we will break more news than any other Scottish rugby media publication.
It would be nice to just get one final big scoop.
Yeah. Pre-World Cup, or during World Cup.
Yeah.
It's just What I think when we look back on the pod, our biggest regret will be not clicking send twice on the news that Finn had walked out of the Scotland camp, because we had it both times.
Oh no, I know. I know. It was too big though.
It was too big. We were too worried about going early. Such a shame. Such a
When those
shame.
DMs came in that Kinghorn was starting at 10, and it, because the thing is,
Oh.
if we'd been set up, it would pull the
Shut
trigger. We would look like such assholes.
it down at that point.
Yeah, just close the channel.
Well,
Good
yeah,
times.
we'll get it. All the good times. We're not done yet. We're not done yet. The eulogies can come another day.
This has felt a little bit like one of those, like, you know, when like Friends do like a retrospective, like, oh, remember the series we're on the sofa chatting about how good it was. That's had a little bit of an air to it like that. But
We can't. We can't go out.
no.
No.
When Scotland win the World Cup, we can't quit. We can't quit then.
Yeah, I think if Scotland make the quarterfinals, we got to go to Paris and we got to do a live pod.
Yeah.
Let's put that if we
You're
make it.
going Scotland, Tonga and Nice, right? I'm quite keen
Yes.
for that. It's quite a little trip to Scotland to Nice.
I know. We
Went
need
to Nice
to.
on my brother's stag do. So I know all the haunts.
Or not. Yeah. Well, we need to
Big
actually
silence after
if anyone wants to hook
that.
us up with tickets, accommodation, that kind of
Good
stuff.
combination. I'm pretty sure we'll be able to get tickets for Scotland Tonga. Don't know if they're like a tier one
Yeah,
get
but like
for the World Cup.
free ones.
Oh, a bit hospo.
Little
Yeah,
tent on the
exactly.
beach.
Yeah. It
It's a pebble beach, not
is
comfortable.
Pebble Beach. Yeah.
Pebble beach in Nice. You don't want it.
no. But no, yes. Don't worry. We'll have a run of pods for the World Cup.
There will be pods. There will be pods forever. Right, guys, always a pleasure.
Always a
Thank you very
pleasure.
much you for coming back to listen. Keep in touch with us. Our prime asset at Thistle Rugby Pod on Twitter is still your number one source for Scottish rugby news. So get on there, stick with us, and we'll be back in touch very soon. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.